Let me read the first pericope, Hebrews 9, 24 through 28. This is the RCL passage for November 7th. For Christ did not enter a sanctuary made by human hands, a mere copy of the true one, but he entered into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself again and again as the high priest enters the holy place year after year with blood that is not his own. For then he would have to suffer again and again since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the age to remove sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for mortals to die once, and after that the judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. Ted, what tangible effect does it have on our lives that Christ is in the presence of the Father appearing on our behalf?
Here's a short answer. Well, it makes all the difference. Let me explain. First, we have to understand who this Christ is, who is in heaven in God's presence on our behalf. This is Jesus. The author of Hebrews presents Jesus as the eternal Son of God, who, having assumed our humanity, having become human while still remaining God, is in God's presence for us as fully human and fully God, and that is forever. So when he appears in the presence of the Father on our behalf in heaven, he is appearing as who he is, fully human and fully God. The God-man who was born for us, who lived for us, who died on our behalf, was buried, resurrected, and ascended to the Father. And it's vital to understand that it is this human God who ascended and now is in the presence of the Father in heaven as one of us, for us, our representative, there on our behalf in heaven for our benefit. As the Apostle Paul says it, we are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ, and that's because Christ, who is human, is there for us. He's taken our humanity to heaven, where there is unabated, intimate, ongoing fellowship between God and humanity. Jesus, bearing our humanity, brings us to God. And he does so, and this is a key point of the book of Hebrews, he does so as our high priest, ministering the things of God to us and the things of humanity to God. And so Jesus at the throne of God is continually there on our behalf, interceding for us, praying for us and with us, and leading our worship of God. That's the difference it makes, which is huge.
Now, it is huge. And continue, please.
Sure. I was just going to mention there's a lot of good news in what I just said. And perhaps it could best be summarized by simply saying that this human divine person, Jesus, is the atonement, which that word atonement plays a key role in the book of Hebrews. And it is not merely what Jesus did that constitutes the atonement. It is who Jesus is. For in him, humanity and divinity are united in one, and he is the one mediator between God and humankind in his own person. So that's the difference.
And this mediator, he doesn't have to suffer again and again due to his once for all offering. Now that sounds like great news for Jesus. But is there good news for us, especially those of us who find ourselves in the midst of suffering now?
Yeah. You know, to say that Jesus did this once and for all is a way of saying that his offering, and he offered himself, is all sufficient and final. And that's a key point that is made in Hebrews, which means there's no need for what he did to be repeated. And what he did for all people in all times, past and present and future. And there's great good news for us in that Jesus is our Savior, he is our High Priest and our King, And we can rely on that. We can trust that. We can trust him to be, for us, who he actually is. And as our Savior, having united our humanity to himself, bearing our sin, he suffered and died for us, then rose, still united to us in new life. And now in heaven, at the throne of God, seated as our high priest, he is sharing that life with us. And when he prays, he's praying for us. When we pray, we are praying with him. When he worships, we are worshiping with him. His human life in heaven is our life. But there is more. And this is really good news for days like today, and perhaps any day. When we suffer here on earth, Jesus, our high priest, suffers with us. He's not way off somewhere. We tend to think of heaven, you know, as being like way beyond the galaxies. But no, he is not way off. He's not detached. He's not aloof. He is by the Spirit with us, in us, moment by moment. And that's the good word that we have, especially in times of suffering.
That is good news indeed. That can we say, Ted, with what you said, that Jesus is experiencing what we are experiencing? So in that sense, that he is truly involved intimately in the suffering that we have.
Yeah, I think sometimes we would tend to think that, well, Jesus suffered once when he was human, so he kind of has the memory of suffering, and he does. Mm-hmm. He suffered greatly at times. But we must not overlook that Jesus continues to be human and united to our humanity so that when we suffer, he experiences that with us. Now, how that works, I can't say. Some of this is just flat-out mystery. We're not given all the details. We're not really told how this is, but we're told that it is. And that's important to know, because I think there's a tendency when we suffer to think that God and Christ himself has gone way off somewhere, either doesn't see or doesn't care, or is cold-hearted, you know, whatever we might think. And none of that is true. We have a merciful, faithful, caring, feeling high priest. And that is what makes Jesus' high priesthood so unique.
Yeah. It makes me think of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the German pastor and theologian who taught us the concept of place sharing, that Jesus is, as the mediator, sharing in our place with us as we experience what we experience. What an amazing God that we are in relationship with. The writer of Hebrews states that Christ will appear again, hallelujah, praise God, not to deal with sin, but to save. I don't know. It seems like salvation goes deeper than just dealing with sin. What do you think?
Yeah, it's. I think there is a tendency to think of salvation as a one-off deal. You know, Jesus dies on the cross to save us, and so we are saved. Or we think that when we say a prayer, confessing Christ, accepting him as Savior, that we are then saved and that's it. And both of the things I just mentioned are true. However, there's more to be said. Jesus did die once and for all, but when he appears again, and the reference here seems to be his return in glory, he comes to bring salvation, which is a reminder to us that salvation really occurs in three tenses, if you will, past and present and future. In Jesus, we were saved, we are being saved, and we will be saved. All of that is Jesus' work as one of us on our behalf. And what Jesus did, past tense, to save us, as I mentioned before, does not need to be repeated. It was a finished, completed sacrifice. And that's the past tense. And that's the great act of our salvation, as you will, focusing really on the cross, but also the tomb and the empty tomb. And then there is the present tense of salvation. Jesus comes to us now by the Spirit, bringing the message of that salvation, inviting people to turn to him and to receive their salvation. And then there's the future tense that Jesus will come in glory in his glorified humanity. He'll return to earth visibly where he can be seen by all, and he will come clothed in his gospel, inviting all to turn to him and to receive from him what is theirs in him, which is his eternal life. And so, yes, he brings salvation with him because Jesus is salvation. Our union with Christ, the atonement itself, is the union of humanity and divinity in the one person of Jesus. And so it's all about Jesus, but because it's about Jesus, it's about us.
Yeah, and it reminds me that we cannot artificially and wrongly bifurcate the act and being of Jesus, that he is not only in his act the saving grace that we experience, but he himself is the Savior. All of this held in perfect harmony within himself. And that's so important. He's not just the gift giver, but he is truly the gift that we can share in relation. Amen and amen.